Oh, who wants to be young again? Man, do you remember those days, everybody over here? Remember the big weekend? Oh my gosh. How exciting. You know what's exciting though is that we get to be a church that sponsors and looks forward to the heart of raising our future leaders. Seeing youth around here. I love it. You know, there's some churches where they're going, oh gosh, man, as soon as these people die, we're going to be done. There's nobody else here young. And I just love the fact that we have people from all ages here, from birth all the way to 100 years old. I think that the community of Christ is supposed to be all of us together, right? The young learning from the old and the old learning from the young as well. And then we also have all sorts of different nationalities here from all around the globe. 50 some different countries, I think, are involved in our church. And I love that. It does become a problem when we try to do worship because I've always got somebody saying, can we turn it up? And I've always got somebody saying, can we turn it down? We always have that. So there's always a little give and take, and we need to do that because we want everybody here. We don't want to be segregated. But I'll tell you what, it was sure exciting to realize that all that we have done to advance the kingdom of God, all that we have done and all that we have built, look what it's doing. We are helping to cultivate a whole new generation of believers in Jesus Christ. And that should make us very, very excited. I'm just, thank you guys. Thank you for following the Lord and thank you for the energy that you bring. I love it. I absolutely love it. This morning, I'm going to start on a series in the next 3 or 4 weeks here. We're going to do a series on stewardship. Stewardship. What does it mean to be a steward of something? And if you wouldn't mind standing in respect for the Word of God, we're going to say a couple of verses this morning is all we're going to go through. But if you could say it together with us, it's a 1 Corinthians 4:1-2. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. You may be seated. I love this passage. I love it. And we're going to dissect it. And I'm going to get into these verses. But before I do that, I want you just to sit, just listen. Just listen. I'm going to read a number of scriptures. And I just want you to just take it in. Just listen to this. Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. Psalm 50:10-12. This is the Lord speaking. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the mountain and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all its fullness. Psalm 89:11. This is a psalmist speaking about the Lord. The heavens are yours. The earth also is yours. All the world and all it contains. You have founded them. Psalm 104:24. O Lord, how many are your works in wisdom? You have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. This is in Job 41. The Lord speaking again. Who has given to me that I should repay him? I love this. Who has given to me that I should repay him? Whatever is under the whole heaven is mine. Deuteronomy 10:14. Indeed, heaven and the highest heavens belongs to the Lord, your God. Also the earth and all that is in it. We'll go to the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 10:26. For the earth is the Lord's and all it contains. Okay, having read all those scriptures, I have two questions for you. Number one, what does God own? Excuse me? Everything. Is there anything he doesn't own? Does he own it all? On earth and in heaven, everything he's created, it belongs to him, right? So the Lord owns everything. Okay, second question. What do you own? Say it again. What do you own?
Nothing.
You own nothing. Isn't that wonderful? All my life, what have I gathered? I've gathered nothing. I own nothing. I've gathered a bunch of borrowed stuff. I've gathered a bunch of borrowed stuff. You are only borrowing. You're stewarding all that God has. As a Christian, we must understand this. We must understand that you own nothing. God owns everything. Who owns your house? Who owns your car? Who owns your job? Who owns your clothes? Who owns your money? Who owns your investments? Who owns your possessions? Who owns your future? Who owns your life? Who owns you? God. He bought you with a price, it says in 1 Corinthians. He bought you with a price. He bought for you. He paid for you. He owns you. He owns everything. And once we understand he owns everything, that's great. Now we got that straight, we can start working. God has called us to be steward of what he owns. He's called us to steward what he owns. Okay, so we got that out of the way. Now let's go with 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. Let's kind of dissect this and take a look at it. It says, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ. As servants of Christ. I think we're called to be two things here. This scripture brings to mind that we're called to be two things. Number one, we're called to be servants of Christ. Right? Servants of Christ. The word servant, it means an under oarsman. And I didn't get in time to get the, I wanted to get one of those guys who's in the bottom. He's chained together and he's the under oarsman, right? He's like, is it his boat? It's for sure ain't his boat, right? Because he's handcuffed to it. It ain't his. He's doing this for somebody else. Now, he's doing it because he don't like to do it. He's doing it as a slave. He's not wishing he were there. But it's talking about this under oarsman. This subordinate, it means. It comes from a word that means under, beneath, underneath, below, of inferior position. That's what it means to be a servant. As servants, we're under something, right? As servants, we're under the lordship of Christ, are we not? We're supposed to be under something. Servants are under things. They help people. They serve people. They do things for people. That's what servants do. And it says, let a man so consider us as servants. Servants. In our whole leadership philosophy here at Living Faith Fellowship is we don't have any leaders up here. All of our leaders we put at the bottom of everything that we do. If you want to be a leader here, congratulations. You have hit bottom. Okay? If you aspire to leadership here at Living Faith Fellowship, congratulations! You've hit bottom. Wow, that doesn't sound very exciting. Oh, it's the best place to be. I love being at the bottom. Because you get to help a lot of people at the bottom. We're not putting people on a pedestal. We're not putting people as an idol. We don't put anybody up there because we're all equal at the foot of the cross and every leader should be like Christ. And he, if I remember, was the servant of all, was he not? He was the servant of all. We are all to live our lives in such a way that people consider us as servants. It says here, let a man so consider us. He's kind of like, I want you to live in such a way that people would, like, if they were to look at you, they would consider you and go, oh, you must be a servant. How did you get that? Oh, just by the way you're acting and all that. I could just tell, you must be a servant. You're not royalty here. You're not the top dog. You must be a servant around here. Live your life in such a way that when people say you, they think, hey, you must be a servant. Do you mind getting that for me? And our response is, absolutely. I'd love to do that. In such a way that we want to serve people. It wouldn't mind me a bit to do that for you. Pastor Carey's always said, you know when you're a true servant, when you're treated like one. And it doesn't bother you. When you're treated like one, and it doesn't bother you. You don't have to go, no, but I am somebody. I am, oh no, no, hey, you treat it like a servant and they ask you to do something and maybe don't even thank you. It's okay because you know you're not doing it just for them. You're doing it for the Lord because you're under him. You're under him. You're a servant. You're a servant. I remember, One of the things I do on the harvest, when we do the harvest carnival, I'm always worried that people, because we do it up in the other building there with all these kids, we got all these kids, all these new visitors coming, and they come. We do a great deal. Our harvest carnival is coming up again. You'll want to bring all your kids, all the neighbor kids, everybody to it. It's going to be great. But I'm usually down here as a parking usher because I get worried that people are going to come by here and think, because it's on our sign, they'll think it's just in this building. And so they get lost and they go back home. So I get out here and I stand here. And so when people come by, I go, hey, it's actually the building behind. I tell them where to get there and how to get behind there. You know, I'm just kind of like the parking usher. Well, we had a new couple that came and I was just telling them where to go. And so they went there. And that couple finally, you know, kind of came to church afterwards. And when they came afterwards, they saw me up on the stage and they go, dude, I thought you were the parking usher. I go, I am the parking usher. I am the parking usher. Well, I happen to be the lead pastor here too, but my best job is the parking usher. I love being the parking usher because I just get to enjoy people. I don't have to speak. Actually, I enjoy speaking too. So anyway, the greatest compliment you can get in a store is, oh, do you work here? We get to think, oh my God, you think you're at Walmart and somebody goes, hey, excuse me, do you work here? If they say that to you, instead of getting offended, go, well, can I help you? What do you need? I mean, it's absolutely a compliment for someone to think you're a servant. Because you're most like Jesus Christ when you're a servant. Because Jesus came to serve, right? He didn't come to be served. He didn't come to go, hey, disciples, hey, come on, guys, come on, come on, snap around. I'm royalty here, dude. Take care of my every whim. He didn't do that at all. He just served all of them. I think sometimes you get the idea, you know, it was like, hey, Jesus, you're on for dishes tonight. Hey, all right, I'm excited. He's washing dishes too. I don't think it was like, Jesus, you don't wash dishes. We'll just fix your food. We'll do everything. As a matter of fact, I think, remember when after the resurrection, he comes back, Jesus is fixing breakfast and they're all out there, you know, he's fixing breakfast. He didn't go, wait a second, I'm God for crying out loud. Somebody else ought to fix this mush. I mean, geez. He didn't do that. He didn't care. I'll tell you, when we get in the mentality inside of us where we don't care about being somebody. I tell people, and I do this probably for a different reason, but I say, I don't want to be anybody. I don't want to be a somebody. I really want to be a nobody. I don't care to be known by anybody. I just want to be a nobody. Because God does His greatest stuff out of nothing. Amen. He does His greatest stuff from nothing. He had nothing. He created a world. I think if we come with our nothingness, He can do something great inside of us. I just want to be a nobody for the Lord. He's the servant of all. He came to be, not to be served, but to serve. It says, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. This is the second aspect. We're supposed to be servants, right? Having that kind of heart, that servant's heart. I'll tell you what, if you have a servant's heart inside of you, your wife will love you, your boss will love you, your kids will love you, everybody will love you. You know why? Because everybody loves a servant. Everybody loves something that will do something for them. Everybody loves something that will give to them. Everybody loves somebody who cares more about them than they do about themselves. I mean, if you hear what I'm saying. People like it when, oh, you care about me? Oh, you want to do this for me? I tell you, if you want to get advanced in your job, be a servant in your job. You want your wife to love you more? Serve her. If you want your husband to love him more, let him watch football. No. By the way, go Cougs. Go Vandals, huh? Everybody won round the table, round the horn. Although I just had a cardiac arrest during the Cougars game. Stewards. Steward. What's a steward? Steward here is the Greek word. It means a house distributor or a manager or overseer. One who's in charge of running a household or managing things for another. Someone who manages stuff. It doesn't belong to you. Remember, nothing you own belongs to you, right? You just simply take care of it. We're supposed to be a steward for God. He owns it all. We just manage it. We just take care of it. You're not supposed to be skimming off the top and cheating Him. It's all His, Right? We get access to all of it. He just asks, hey, I want that over there, this over there, do that over there, this over here, that over there. So we get to be a steward. We get to be a steward. We're called to steward. And this is the interesting thing, but we're called not just to steward, stewards of the mysteries of God. Now that sounds like something I would like to steward, man. Steward of the mysteries of God. What are the mysteries of God? That sounds exciting. Mysteries. Mysterion is the Greek word, and it means to shut the mouth. I like this word. Shut the mouth. You know when someone says something to you that's absolutely so crazy, so what do you say to them? Shut up. Shut up. You're kidding me. I mean, and here it is, to shut the mouth. These mysteries, just shut your mouth. It's a secret, a mystery. It's this idea of silence. Shh. Nobody knows this. There's some awesome things. They're mysterious. They're secrets, but I'm getting ready to reveal them. I'm going to reveal these secrets, these mysteries, these things that are just awesome in the Lord. I'm getting ready to reveal them. Guess who He reveals them to? His stewards. His servants. Remember the water into wine? Who knew what happened there? The servants knew what happened. Nobody else is going, hey, good wine. The servants are going, wow, you don't know how good this wine is. This wine came from heaven. It's divine. These mysteries. Mysterious. These mysteries. These mysteries. What are the mysteries of God? I think they're the adventures that lie ahead that God is getting ready to reveal or let you in on. Do you realize that there is so much yet that God wants to do, even prophesied in the book before the end comes? There is so much stuff that He is going to do. So many things that are kind of somewhat mysterious when you look in the book of Revelation. I mean, just kind of, but He's got yet to do this. He's got yet to reveal some things. He's got yet to reveal these mysteries. And who does He want to reveal these mysteries to? His stewards. His prophets. He wants to reveal what's coming down the line. These adventures. These exciting things that God has, the excitement of the kingdom of God is awesome. It's an adventure. It's an adventure. The word adventure means an exciting or unusual experience. A bold or difficult undertaking, usually exciting and somewhat dangerous. How many are thrill seekers out there? Has anybody here ever bungee jumped? Okay, there's the thrill seekers, all right. Bungee jump. How many have jumped off a huge, big train trestle or something? Okay, probably shouldn't do that because you don't know what's down there. Anyway, this idea of to dare a little bit. This idea of to risk. This idea of something adventuresome. Something that may cost something, but it's exciting. It's adventuresome. Things we might not totally understand, or that maybe we don't quite get them yet. The why questions that we all have. The unknown things of God. The complexities of God. The wild blue yonder. Just all of this. These mysteries. God wants you to be a steward of them. He wants you to steward these unknown. How do I steward them, Lord? Be ready. Be ready to move at my command. When I say speak, speak. When I say share, share. When I say shut up, shut up. Some things I'm not supposed to say yet. Verse 2. I'm an adventure nut, you know. I just love this adventure part. And verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards, those managing God's stuff, it's required in those that are managing God's stuff that one be found faithful. We are called, actually required to be faithful stewards. Not just stewards, but faithful stewards. Not just a steward, but a good one. A faithful one. Not a bad one. But a good one. A good steward. Good steward. A faithful steward. The word faithful means trustworthy or trustful. They're a trusting. They trust whatever the Lord says to them. They trust Him. And the Lord trusts them. You know, in the same way that the Lord says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, He wants to also trust you. Who do you think the Lord is going to reveal the next wave of whatever He's going to do coming down the line? Someone who's fickle? Someone who's great one day and gone the next? Or someone who's been faithful, trustworthy? Trustworthy. Who does He give His secrets to? Those that are trustworthy. Those that will handle Him, advance them, move them forward, give their life for the cause. That's who He speaks to. That's who He unveils these mysteries to. I want to be one of those people. A faithful person is trustworthy. When you ask them to do something, you can trust them, what? To get it done. Get her done. They're the get her done people, right? Get her done. They're going to do it. They're going to make it happen. Why? Because they take ownership. Now, I don't know if any of you have been in leadership or a manager or whatever. Don't you love the people that when you say something to them, you never have to say it to them again? Why? Because they take ownership, right? It's like they own it. When you know they own it, it's going to be done, right? You don't have to worry about it. You have to go, I just check him out. Hey, I'm already 9 steps past you, dude. I'm 9 steps past you. It's done. He's looking for those types of people. He's looking for those faithful stewards, those get her done. Because He wants to speak to you some mysteries. Speak to you some mysteries. Answer some of your questions. When God asks you to do something, you do it. I love this part about required, though. We are called, it says, moreover, it is required, right? Required of these stewards, of these managers of God, to be trustworthy, to be faithful. But it says required, and I thought it was an interesting word when I looked it up. It was interesting. That word, the Greek word, means to seek. It means to worship God. That's the definition, to seek, to worship God, to worship God, to worship God. It's required of stewards to be found faithful. It's worship for a steward to be faithful, to get the job done. It's an act of worship when we're obedient to God and do what He's asked us to do and steward His stuff. To do what He wants to do with His stuff. He says, wow, that gets my heart, man. That's an act of worship. Stewardship is seen by God as worship. 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 We're called to be stewards. We're called to be faithful stewards. We're called to be stewarding the mysteries of God. We're called to be stewarding the great adventures that the Lord has. Are we not? When I got on this thought of adventure, and I couldn't help think of Stephen Curtis Chapman's song, The Great Adventure, written back in 1992. Back in 1992, you guys, anybody born over here in 1992? Oh, we have one, two, okay. 1992. I do want you to know that it was remade in 2017. Okay? It was remade in 2017. That song lit a fire under me, man. That song, saddle up your horses, we got a trail to blaze. When I, as a younger Christian back then, do you know the interesting thing? Catherine came in and said, you know, I was doing this, and she goes, Pastor Phil, you preached a message on that song. I go, what? She goes, yeah, back when it was done, I remember you preached a message. I go, I did? And so we're up there sitting there, we're trying to look through some old notes. You know, we got all this stuff filed up there, and so she's looking through these notes. And Lily says, yeah, I think it was October 14th, 1992. And I just, actually, but she was wrong. It was October 4th. I just thought, wow, that was scary. October 4th, 1992, almost 26 years ago to the day. And I thought, and God brings this back to me? This thought? I preached this message, you know, just a young guy back then, and the G, I was kind of doing an acronym on great, and G stood for God's sons, and R was right image, and E was expectancy, and A was, I forgot to write the whole word down. What was it? I wrote A-D-A-P, and then they said, hey, the kids are going to break up here. You got to go talk to them. And I stopped right then. So it's something that was cool. Maybe it's A-A-R-P. I don't know now. Maybe that's what I was writing down is getting it now. And I thought, what about the T stood for? T was the song, you know, just. It was powerful. It was a powerful message, I think. It was memorable to Lily anyway. Lily and Catherine knew about the message. I didn't know about it. It was so funny that, you know, Steve and Curtis Chapman, I for the longest time, I thought it was three guys. Actually, you know, two guys. I thought it was Steve and Curtis Chapman. I thought they were brothers, you know, they're brothers in the Lord. Steve and Curtis Chapman. And literally, I mean, it was a couple of years. I didn't even know it because I'm not a big music person normally. Huh? Yeah, I'm not on the worship team, as you can see. But Stephen Curtis Chapman. And I want to just go through. I'm going to read a couple of these lyrics because I just want to bring them back. And I think at the end, he has a little video he did of the remake of 2017, the remake. And I'd like to show it as we dismiss. I love this song. And I love the fact that it's written by a guy many years ago and then readapted. And the readaptation is really awesome of a man who's also weathered some life. He's weathered some life. He has three kids, three adopted children, I think, three adopted children from China. And back in, I think it was 2008, his son accidentally drove over and killed the youngest child that they had adopted. And it was very, very difficult for them as a family, very difficult for that young boy who ran over his sister and killed her. And, you know, they had to go through some dark times, some difficult times. But you know what? He's still writing music. He's still singing The Great Adventure. He still believes it's a great adventure that we're on with God. Even though we have some difficulties that we scratch our head and don't understand completely about. And all of us are in that position. And I say that to say this. I don't know what's happened in your life, what difficulties and stuff that's going on. But it's still a great adventure and God is calling us to continue to move on. I don't always understand the whys. You'll get your why answered in heaven. But we know the what. We know who, I should say. We know who we're serving. We're serving the Lord and He's got it all in control. But if you wouldn't mind, let me just chat through the song for just a minute. It says, started out this morning in the usual way, chasing thoughts inside my head. A thought of all I had to do today. I mean, you know, are we there? All the stuff I got my to-do list. Another time around the circle. Again, just going around the earth again, right? Another year. Try to make it better than the last. I opened up my Bible and I read about me. It said I'd been a prisoner and God's grace had set me free. And somewhere between the pages, it hit me like a lightning bolt. And I love this part. It hit me like a lightning bolt because that's what happened to me in my walk with the Lord. I'm just following Him. I'm not doing a very good job of following in Him. And all of a sudden, something hit me like a lightning bolt. It was an aha moment in my life. And all of a sudden, Jesus Christ became the biggest, the best, the greatest, and the only thing that I wanted to have in my life. It was this aha moment where I was all in, where I said, God, you can have this life. I've messed it up so much, but take it. You can have it. It hit me like a lightning bolt. And that lightning bolt set me on this adventure. I got so excited about God. So excited about what He wanted to do with my life. So excited about fulfilling the call. Never thought it would be this by any means. I thought I was going to be a civil engineer all my life and maybe volunteer at the end of it. I saw a big frontier in front of me and I heard somebody say, let's go. Saddle up your horses. We got a trail to blaze. Through the wild blue yonder of God's amazing grace, let's follow our leader into the glorious unknown. How many like to run into stuff you don't know about? Hey, just step off. It'll be great. Okay. Now we're all going, wait, I don't know. Let me see what's going on. The glorious unknown. The mysteries of God. The mysteries of God. Something big, something great. This is life like no other. Whoa. This is the great adventure. Christianity is the great adventure. God has great stuff for you, but if you're living a boring Christian life, then you're not living a Christian life. If it is boring to you, then you are missing something. If it is boring, you're missing some things in there. You've not gone all in. You've not let them take it all. You've not found out what it's like being born by His wings, and He carries you somewhere, and He gives you words to speak, and He gives you thoughts to think, and He gives you lives to change. You see, it's a great adventure. So come on, get ready for the ride of your life. I can tell you it's been the ride of my life. Gonna leave long-faced religion. You know what long-faced religion is? Boring. I hate boring. I don't want to be around boring. I want it exciting. I want it dynamic. I want it fun. I want an adventure. In a cloud of dust behind, and discover all the new horizons just waiting to be explored. This is what we were created for. Yeah. Then it says, we'll travel on over mountains so high. We'll go through valleys below. Gonna happen. It went through it on Him. Still through it all, we'll find that this is the greatest journey the human heart will ever see. The love of God will take us far beyond our wildest dreams. Saddle up your horses. I have been thinking about this adventure. Adventure is what God has in store for us. We're to be stewards of the mysteries of God. Stewards of these great adventures. To advance His kingdom. And I put down here, going through all of this, I realized what it was saying, that scripture we just dissected. I think He's calling us to be a faith-filled stewardship adventure. He's called us on a faith-filled stewardship adventure. And I believe that as a church, God is calling us into more of the adventure. I think as a church body, God is calling us into more of this great adventure. To do more to advance His kingdom. He's given us a great leadership team, man. We had an awesome leadership team around here. I love it. I love it. I think we got tons of them. I think between the daycare and the school, and we got 57 employees here. I love them all. I think we got more than that, but they're awesome. And we have leaders leading in departments and in areas, and they're awesome. And we have all of you out here whose heart, and they're leaders in our congregation that care about advancing God's kingdom. And He's given our leadership team a bigger vision. And as we have shared with our board, shared with other people, shared in meetings, I've had people pushing me on this great adventure that we're supposed to be on. Saying, hey, why don't we ante up a little more? Why don't we go a little deeper? Why don't we go a little bigger? Why don't we go for it? And in this whole process, I'm going to let you in on a vision. So we started thinking about, my gosh, God wants us to go bigger. Here's a vision. We make payments every month on a bank loan for our building here on the property. I mean, we have this property, the other property, we have a lot here. But we make a payment every month of $32,000 a month for our mortgage here. In 2020, we have a balloon payment of $2.7 million that is due. That's not bad on all that we own here. We're down to just $2.7 million, but we still owe $32,000 per month. And there's this balloon payment in 2020. Now we can't at that time refinance the loan, or a bunch of folks said, why don't we just pay it off? Because we need $2.7 million. That was my thought. What if we paid it off? What could we do? What can we do to add to our adventure right now with $32,000 a month going to advancing the kingdom of God rather than advancing the financial balance sheet of a bank? What could we do? What could we do? And as we've been seeking the Lord and talking with a lot of you out here, we've talked to a ton of folks and you guys are pushing me. We believe that He's wanting us to pay off the note in full by December 31st, 2020. $2.7 million. Pay it off by December 31st, 2020. Okay? We feel that God wants us to quit putting it in the bank and He wants us to put it into the ministry. Quit paying off the bank and let's advance this ministry. Now, let me say this. This is the first capital campaign we have ever had as a church. It's the first time we've ever done this type of a thing. We've gone through loans and all of that, and we've never really tried to do a capital adventure. I know a lot of churches everywhere has done them. This is our very first one. But what could we do with $32,000 a month? Here's a vision that we have. Number one, we want more campus and community outreach staff. We want more people reaching out to more students and more of our community, because the more that we have reaching out, the more that we'll have that will come in, the more that we'll have that will get saved, the more that we'll have will get filled with the Holy Spirit, the more that we'll have will grow in the things of God, the more that we'll stand out of here and we'll advance the kingdom of God in churches across the nation, because we've done it already. We want more of them. God is calling us to do this on a bigger scale. More people, more people. I have to say that I was, when I went up there with all of the people that were up there taking the Carpenter series, my heart just burst. I am so proud of all those kids. I mean, we didn't have just college students, there was a lot of other folks up there, and I was just so proud that they wanted to grow in God. They wanted to grow in God. They wanted to have their lives changed. They wanted to do something big for the kingdom of God, but they needed to know what it was all about. And I'll tell you what, I'm so proud of all of you that have taken, all of you right now that are taking it. I just commend you. I thank you. Don't let the enemy talk you out of it. Don't let him discourage you. You keep moving, because I guarantee you, and I could read letter after letter after letter after letter of people when I said, just give me 1 year of your life. Give me 1 year. Come here. Give me 1 year. Take the stuff we have. Take the classes. Get involved, and I guarantee it will change your life. And I get letter after letter after letter after letter after letter that say, thank you. You were right. You were correct. My life got radically changed. Just like mine did. We know that we've done that for so many years. When I saw all those kids in that jumping around and excited, and there was all this energy for the kingdom of God, I go, I want it bigger. I want it bigger. I want more. Because God wants more. I want more kids saved. I want more kids filled with the Holy Spirit. I want more kids set on fire. I want more kids when they leave here going, wow, I'm excited to do something big for God. And whatever endeavor He's given me. Anyway, I'm just proud of you guys. I believe we're supposed to do more missions. We've got 2 more wells. We're doing them in Malawi. We're starting to build them right now again. We do 2 every year. We want to do more wells. We have things to do in Uganda. We do have teaching, educational opportunities are open up to us in Ecuador, everywhere, to get foundations into people's lives. We had an IMT student, an international ministry training student that came, what was her name? She was here and, oh gosh, she was delightful. Went out to lunch with her. So excited. Went through a lot of our materials, a lot of our stuff, personality, all of that stuff. She loved it. She's going to go back to her church and then just impart it there. I want more students coming from more countries coming, and we want to train them up. We want to pay to get them here. Then house them while they're here, and then send them out to change the world. Next, I believe this next thing is something that we're to do. I believe we're supposed to start planting churches. I believe that we're supposed to plant churches. We're training up so many. I believe we're supposed to start planting churches in places everywhere. Not that we want that church. I just want to help you. We're not trying to grab an organization. I'm so against all that stuff. I just want to see the kingdom advance. We want to help train up, help get you going, move, and have you start churches across the United States, across the world. I believe this, that some of you sitting right here, some of you right here right now, your destiny is to be a pastor. It may not be full-time. It may not be in full-time ministry. You may be pastoring and doing another job. All of our pastors here do that. We all do something else. But God wants to do something, and He's going to stir inside of you. He's going to call you to something. And we want to be there to help you make that happen. I believe that we're to get going our Bible college and training center. Develop this mentoring and training and educational center that we can raise up more and more leaders. Now we do a lot in all the years that you'll be here, in the 4 years you'll be here, there'll be a lot of things that you'll be taking on 4 and 5 years. But you know what? I think that there's more that we can do to educate and found you and cause you to grow up so strong that we can help you as you start those churches. I'd also like to take better care of our staff. They work for nothing. And to maybe do some capital improvements around here as well. But we want to do those other things are our main priority. So how do we do this? I know I'm a little bit long. I apologize. I have some messages on my heart for the next 3 weeks. I'm going to talk about the stewardship side of it. What does it mean to live all in for God? We're going to do a launch campaign October 21st. Everybody remember that. October 21st. With a special service. I want everybody to be here. If you can, please be here. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have a party. We're going to do all sorts of... It's going to be a great, great time. It's going to be awesome. We have some guest speakers. We have some guests that are coming as well. It will be a 27-month campaign, okay? So December of 2020 is 27 months from now, right? So it'll be 27 months long. We're hoping to raise $2.7 million. 27 months, 2.7. We're thinking something like, okay, I started thinking, I go, well, 27 months, if there were 1,000 units of $100 per month for 27 months, that would be $2.7 million. Does anybody kind of get the math there? 1,000 units, if a person, of $100 per month payments, because, you know, nobody can just, hey, I don't think anybody here is going to write a check for 2.7. Do we have anybody? I'd like to take you to lunch. We would love it. We would, honest to God, we'll pray for your business to grow bigger. I was talking to other churches and I mean, all these guys that I'm with usually and I work for the Fellowship Network as a secretary, talk to these guys and I go, what's the biggest offer you've ever gotten? I go, we've never ever got an offering like that. We've never got an offering that added that much after the whole year of the person giving that. And they just have all of these stories of all of these huge, 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 huge gifts. Everybody's got these. I go, we just have college kids. We get 25 cents in the offering. But you know what? It doesn't mean that God can't do something. And if you know me, and please, I hope you do, and I am not a hype you up, give, squeeze you. I just want you to hear the Lord and do what He says. You're His steward, right? You're His steward. Hear Him. I may challenge you to hear Him a little deeper. But I'm not a hype person. Well, I am an energy person, but I just despise that. Despise trying to trick you into giving. But I was trying to think of how could this work? So if we had 1,000 units of $100 a month, then that would do it. But you know, maybe they won't do one. Maybe some can't do one. Maybe some can only do a half of one or a quarter of one or three go together, four go together and make one. Or maybe you can do one of $100 a month. Maybe you could do five. Maybe you could do 15. Maybe you could take 20. I know some people I've talked to who want to take 20. I know one person wants to take 23 of them themselves. Now that's huge to me. It will, though, take all of us to accomplish this. Please do something. Whatever. Because it won't be us doing it if all of us don't do it. So I'm just asking. Think about it. These next number of weeks, we'll launch on the 21st. We're excited about this. I am so excited. Our logo, can you show us our logo here? Here's our logo. See our arches there? That's our arches. That's our logo. It's our 2020 vision. Our 2020 vision has our arch on the right side there. So it's 2020 vision. Living free, living faith. Because I think that God wants us to live free. And how can we live free? Debt free is one of them, but there's so many other aspects of living free. And what does it mean to be living in faith? I'll tell you what, God wants you to enjoy and move forward in that great adventure that He has for you. I believe we're to be debt-free as a church, but not just debt-free as a church. I believe we're to be debt-free as a congregation, and we want to help in that whole process as well. We want to bring in teaching and help and seminar that will help you learn also how do we become debt-free in all of our living. We're not just selfishly doing this for a church. This is us, folks, all of us. It will take some sacrifice. It will. Every great thing that's worth something does take some sort of a sacrifice. And I was thinking about this 2020 vision. 2020. In 1862, a Dutch eye doctor named Herman Snellen devised an eye chart that became the standardized way eye care professionals to this day determine the distance visual acuity, how clearly someone sees. Here's this. Can everybody read line 8? I'm just kidding. You get some in the back and you're not going to be able to read it. Line 8 is the 2020 line. How many can see the big E? Good. That's the 2200 line. Now notice this. The 2200 line, what I could be at 200 feet if you had perfect vision, at 200 feet, you could see what another person who has 2200 vision has to be at 20 feet away to see. What I'm trying to say is this, God wants to give us vision, clear vision, 2020 vision. And with that vision, the further away you can see what God wants to do and get ready for it. God wants us to move forward. God wants us to enjoy this great adventure. Next Sunday, I'm going to be talking about stewarding your life allows you to live free. How do you steward that? I'm going to talk about this two kingdom mentality. It's going to be a lot of fun. It will be a lot of fun. And hopefully it will be very informative as well. But we're getting ready to get on a great adventure. And I ask that you would join in that adventure. Let's see what God will do as we steward His stuff to advance His kingdom. Amen? Amen. The closers are going to close us. And then after that, because I know you've all been asking for it, as we're dismissed, we're going to play the video, the remake of the 2017 Great Adventure. It's awesome. I was wondering, we'd have all this planned. Tom was talking to me about it. He's our campaign chairman. We have a number of great men and women that were on the board who are working on the advisory board, and they're absolutely incredible, and we'll talk about them later. But the thing that said, I was just going, do I pull this or not, man? Do I pull the trigger on this or not? Do I pull it or not? And when Pastor Tom told me, he said, do you realize that in 2021, at the end of 2020, when it's paid off, 2021 is the start of our 50th year as a church. Now, if you know anything about the Bible, the year 50 was the year of Jubilee. And you know what happened in the year of Jubilee? All the property was returned back to its rightful owner. Everything that you owed was canceled. Every debt was canceled. Every IOU was gone. Every property was brought back to its rightful owner. Every slave was set free. Everything happened in the year of Jubilee to cause it to be absolutely debt free. And when Tom told me year 2021 is our 50th year, God said, zing, what more do you need? Pull the doggone trigger. So, saddle up your horses, folks. We got a trail to blaze.